Some of you, after morning worship, may be going to Granbury and Yosho, Joplin, and going to eat somewhere where you go into a restaurant, sit down. I want you to imagine that you're in that restaurant and there's all kinds of people there. At one table, you see a young mother who's trying to get her two small children to settle down and eat. Another table, you will have two couples of older, retired people talking about grandkids or great-grandkids. Another table, you'll see a young man and woman who only have eyes for each other. All kinds of people, all kinds of situations. Some people are happy, some are sad, some are busy, some are tired, some are lonely. But the saddest thing of all, is that some of those people you see at the restaurant today, some of them will end up suffering terribly in a place that Jesus calls hell. This morning, we want to look at what Jesus said about hell. Hell is not a popular subject. A large number of people in the United States don't even believe that it exists. Yeah, they believe in heaven. They do not believe in hell. So our goal this morning is for us to focus, first of all, on what Jesus said. Realize that hell is a very real place. And as one writer put it, it should cause us to look at other people differently. So as we go out into the world now, let's don't just go out and see people as people. Let's see people as souls. Everyone we see, everyone we meet, everyone we talk to has a soul, possesses a soul that will spend eternity somewhere. And Jesus said there were only two somewheres that people will spend. So when we look at people, I want us to look at people differently now. As people who will either spend eternity in heaven or spend eternity suffering terribly in hell. The first description Jesus gives us, or one area in which Jesus describes hell, is Jesus says that hell will be a day of judgment, a day of condemnation for the wicked. Let's turn our attention to Matthew chapter 25, which will be our main text today. And leave your Bibles open there because we'll be coming back to it more than once. Beginning in verse 31 of Matthew chapter 25. This, of course, is very soon before Jesus is going to be tried and crucified. In verse 31, and remember, this is Jesus describing it. He begins in verse 31 in Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He'll set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Throughout the Bible, you will note that right hand and left hand, there's always a distinction between them. Right hand is always where you want to be, and left hand is where you never want to be. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger and you took Me in. I was naked and you clothed Me. I was sick and you visited Me. I was in prison and you came to Me." Then the righteous, another name for the sheep, will answer Him saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these My brethren, you did it to Me." There's a description of the sheep. There's a description of the righteous. Those are the ones on His right hand. Now he says, verse 41, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Well, then they'll also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he'll answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Notice verse 46. Jesus said, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, the unrighteous, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus says, the day of judgment here is like a courtroom trial. It's where Jesus is sitting on his throne, and he examines the evidence of a person's life, and then he pronounces judgment. He divided everybody, every single one, regardless of who they are, where they were born, their age, or anything else, into two and only two groups. The righteous who go into eternal life, the unrighteous, the wicked, who go into everlasting fire, everlasting punishment. That was the verdict. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus uses very similar language in his Sermon on the Mount. Notice in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, Jesus said, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. There we have the term hell fire used for that place of everlasting punishment, this day of judgment. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 33, in describing hypocrites, in describing religious hypocrites, this is the words that Jesus uses. Matthew chapter 23, verse 33. The New King James says, serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? How can you escape? I think it's the English Standard Version says, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell? The unrighteous, the unrepentant, the wicked, the unprepared, all of those that we've talked about, Jesus the Son of God says, this is a day of punishment for you, a day of judgment for you. This is when God, in particular Jesus, sentences them to that place he describes as hell. So when we eat lunch today, when we're at that restaurant, we need to understand that Jesus is talking about some of those very people we see in that restaurant. Some of those very people. And that's how serious hell is. Jesus said it was serious, and we need to take it serious. And we need to understand that people we know and that we see and that we talk to will suffer terribly in that place. And Jesus will be the ones who will be the one who sentences them to that place of punishment. So Jesus says for those people, it's a day of judgment. And that's the first description he gives today of hell. It's a place of punishment, a place of judgment for the wicked. Next, Jesus goes into more detail and describes hell as a place of severe punishment. And he uses some phrases and some pictures that will help us understand how severe it is. Most of us know what pain is. Most of us have suffered some type of pain in our life, some more than others. Some of that pain may have been quite terrible. But Jesus describes the pain of hell as far, far worse than anything ever experienced on earth. In the parable of the tares or the weeds in Matthew chapter 13, our Savior says, beginning in verse 36, He explains this parable. In verse 36, Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and His disciples came to Him saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." He answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares, or the weeds, are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels." And there we see some things about judgment, about the end of time, and what's going to happen. Obviously, He says angels are going to take part in this. He says, "Therefore," this is the day of judgment, "therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." It says, here's a terrifying image, Jesus says, of hell, of that place of everlasting punishment. It's a furnace of fire. It's a fiery furnace. And that furnace, He says, never goes out. And it causes weeping and gnashing of teeth. In that same chapter, a few verses on down, He uses that expression again in the parable of the dragnet. Verses 49 and 50. Jesus says, "So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just. There's the sheep and the goats. There's the ones on the right hand and the left. And cast them into the furnace of fire. There'll be wailing," here's a different word, "wailing and gnashing of teeth." Jesus wants everyone to understand how terrible this place is, and the suffering there, the punishment there. It's severe. For who? Well, notice the expression He uses in those two parables. Those who practice lawlessness, those who break God's law. David has been doing a great job on Sunday morning talking about breaking God's law. Some people don't seem to think it's a big deal. Jesus said in these parables, breaking God's law will end up, for that person, suffering eternal punishment. Wailing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. He wants to understand, for us to understand, it's a place of pain. It's a place of suffering. And far greater than anything we could possibly imagine in this life. This is what awaits many of the people we know. People we see on a daily basis. People we see on a weekly basis. People we may only meet once in our whole life. Some of those people are the ones He's describing right there. And that's what I want us to bring home from the lesson today, is He's not talking about a few people out there that we've never met. He's talking about people that you and I know. People that we may talk to every single day. That's what I want us to accomplish by the end of this lesson, is to see that it's not some vague group of murderers and rapists that we've never met. No, it's not what He's talking about. Yeah, will they suffer in hell? Absolutely. But it's people we see daily and weekly that we work with, some of our friends, some of our family. Those are the people Jesus is describing here. They're unprepared, they're unrepentant, they're wicked, they break God's law, they're unrighteous. He uses a variety of terms to describe these people who will spend eternity there. In Matthew 22, in the parable of the wedding feast, beginning in verse 11 of that. Matthew 22, beginning in verse 11. At the end of that parable, the king finds a man without a wedding garment, beginning in verse 11. But when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." There he adds the expression, outer darkness. Not just darkness, but outer darkness. Notice these descriptions he's giving of hell. And of course, he's describing them in a physical way, hoping his readers, or the people he's talking to, and then us, will understand just how terrible and horrible and awful it really is. That's what he wants us to know. Outer darkness, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, a furnace of fire, suffering and pain. Why did this man get sent there? Because he hadn't made proper preparations. He hadn't planned. He hadn't prepared for that day. And just think about all the people you and I know that have made no preparations for that day whatsoever. None. They've made no preparations. Well, just like this man at the wedding feast, that's what Jesus will tell him. Why didn't you make preparations? Because you didn't prepare in this life, you're going to be sentenced. You're going to be sent to outer darkness, this place of hell, this place of pain and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. They didn't prepare. And they made no effort to prepare as Jesus told them to prepare. Unfortunately, a lot of people think they're ready for judgment, but they're not. They haven't put on that wedding garment. They just think they're prepared. In the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. Still Jesus. These are all the words of Jesus that we're looking at this morning. This is how the Son of God describes that place of punishment. Matthew chapter 25. Notice verse 30. Jesus said at the end of the parable of the talents, and I know we've heard the parable of the talents many times, in verse 30 he says, "And cast an unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Same expression, same words, same description, and now Jesus includes the class of people who had abilities and talents and resources and opportunities and ignored them. Made no use of them. So look at all the ones that Jesus describes as those who will suffer terribly in that place. The wicked, the unrighteous, those who break God's law, the unprepared, the unrepentant, and now these who did not use their talents and abilities. They hid them. They had them, and they knew they had them. See, this guy knew he had the talent and the ability, and he chose to hide it and not use it. So as a result, he was cast into outer darkness. The exact same expression. And again, these are the words of Jesus. This is how Jesus describes hell. And think about the number of parables and the teachings where Jesus talks about this place of punishment. In Matthew 18, beginning in verse 7, this section, Jesus warns about people who make offenses to others. Verse 7, "Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by offense comes. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life lame or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Or some have it, the hell of fire. Here is a group of people who made no effort to get rid of sin. Your hand and your foot, your eye represent sin, and they weren't willing to cut it off. They weren't willing to get rid of sin in their life. And Jesus says, these are the ones that's going into the hell of fire, everlasting fire. It's a place of punishment. And in none of these places that we've read, not a single one of them gives the slightest bit of hope of a second chance. None of them. They all say, once that Jesus has sentenced you, he has sentenced you. You're not just going to this place of everlasting punishment temporarily. You're going there forever, which leads us into the last description, and that Jesus describes hell as everlasting. We just read Matthew 18, 7 through 9. Eternal fire, everlasting fire. Some versions have never ending. That's the idea here of everlasting. It's never ending. In Mark's account, in Mark chapter 9 of this, he adds one extra term. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched. There, Mark's account adds, the fire that will never be quenched. In other words, there's nothing to put it out. There's nothing to put it out. And to make sure that his hearers understood and that we understand today, back in Matthew chapter 25, where we started, we read about that great judgment scene where Jesus is the judge. He separates all the people into two groups. The sheep, the righteous, and the goats, the unrighteous. Verse 41 that we read said, then he will also say to those on the left, first into the everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. Some versions put the word eternal fire there. In verse 46, then he'll answer them saying, as surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Well, the same Greek word is used in verse 41 and verse 46. Everlasting. Never ending. But also, that last verse that says the righteous into eternal life, that's the exact same word. All three of those places. Verse 41, where it says everlasting fire. Verse 46, everlasting punishment. And eternal life. That's the exact same word. Everlasting, everlasting, eternal. It's all the exact word. Same word. He says there, as long as we inherit eternal life, that's the same length of time that those people will experience eternal punishment. The exact same word. Never ending. For the righteous, that wonderful place of heaven, that everlasting life, will never end. But similarly, for the unrighteous, their punishment will never end. I think Jesus wrote in these words and used these symbols and pictures to try and convey to people just how terrifying it is. I know our culture just scoffs at hell. They just scoff at it. Many say, of course, there isn't a hell, period. They just think the whole idea is ridiculous. Others say hell is just going to be temporary. You're just going to be sent there until you repent, and then you'll go to heaven. Others teach that hell is a place for the absolute worst people that's ever lived. You know, Hitler might go there or a few other people, and that's it. But that is not what Jesus has said this morning. And if you disagree with what has said this morning, you're disagreeing with Jesus. You're disagreeing with the Son of God. Because that's the language He chose to use. It's a place of suffering. It's a place of pain. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of fire. It's a place that never ends. And He wanted us to take it seriously. I think that's His point. And we need to see people differently. We need to see them as people, as souls who will spend some place, they'll spend eternity someplace. They'll either be separated on the right hand as sheep, or they'll be separated on the left hand as goats. And the reason for that is, how did they live on earth? Not were they good people, but how did they respond to Christ? How did they respond to Christ? Yes, Jesus died on the cross for everybody, and He makes salvation available for everybody. He offers salvation to everybody, but few people accept it, because you have to accept salvation on His terms. And that's why the Bible says so many people who thought they prepared in this life will not be prepared, because they didn't accept salvation the way it was offered. And there are not a multitude of ways to accept salvation. Jesus said there's one. There's only one way to accept salvation. And obviously that starts with faith that salvation exists. And of course that salvation coming through Christ. But simply believing that Jesus died on the cross for them does not in any way allow you to accept salvation. But it does start you. It's like Jesus is there with His hand open. There's the gift of salvation. And no, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve anything about heaven. You don't deserve salvation. You don't deserve that place where there's no more death or pain or suffering. No, you don't deserve it. But He's offering it. And you start to take it out of His hand by believing that Jesus is offering it to you because He died on the cross. But that doesn't get it. Most of the world says, or many in the world says it does, but it's not. That's not what Jesus said, and I'm just concerned about what Jesus said. Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. I have to repent before I can accept that gift. I also must confess before men that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Paul told the church in Rome they had to do that. Even that doesn't get me to the point of accepting salvation. Jesus in the Great Commission told people that they had to go, told His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And what was part of the gospel? Telling people that they had to believe and be baptized. He said that was essential. Peter reiterated that in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. It says it's essential that you do that. Jesus is offering, His hand is out, and you can accept it. But you have to accept it on His terms. Most people will not do that. Most people are not going to accept salvation on His terms. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14 that way to everlasting punishment is very broad very wide, and very full. Jesus said, most people are going to take that because they're not going to accept salvation like I've offered it. And so it is up to us. It's there. It's available. He wants us to have this gift. And he says, please accept it. This morning, if you're ready to accept that gift of salvation, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this next song.